2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Utah's All Day Companion for News.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. And I don't think, Tom, that you could get a more perfect day.
No, you couldn't.
This is like it's my beautiful. Perfect day. Gorgeous weather, nice temperatures, perfect weather to get out in the yard and just do some fall cleanup or plant some new perennials, just about anything you'd like to do today.
You know, the weather is going to be perfect over the next several days. I was just checking yesterday evening, 70s and 80s with temperatures in the 50s and 60s every night along the Wasatch Front. And it's just a perfect time. You know, the nurseries are putting things on sale so you can go get some discounts on trees and shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great time of year to be out harvesting in the garden. The tomatoes are finally kicking in and producing at full capacity, those that still have them.
Mm.
You know, so there's a lot going on that is just really good.
Right. I'd like it just to stay like this for months, but we know that it won't. It truly is my favorite time of year, but the thing that I'm always like, but it always changes so quickly. Like when that storm came in and the temperature dropped, like, what, 30 degrees? I was like, whoa.
Yes. And, you know, we had flooding and things. And those September storms are usually the first warnings that falls on the way. And it's strange that we go from 107 or 108 degrees just within a week down to the 40s at night. Cache Valley's been in the 30s already.
Wow.
You know, I noticed Heber's been in the 30s. And so that the weather is quickly changing, but looking at the forecast, we at least have a good week to 10 days of just perfect weather.
Yeah, transition me into it a little bit
better. Yes.
That would be great. One of the plants that I found a couple of weeks ago that locally that you can find was one that I've not seen before that we're going to talk about this morning as a plant of the week, a fall sunflower, sunstruck. And what I really loved about this, besides the beautiful yellow flowers that look like daisies, was the variegated leaves on this plant.
Yes, this is one that has ornament through the summer when it's not blooming, but when the blooms come out, they look like a little sunflower, almost a little cross between a black-eyed Susan and a sunflower. So this particular plant, it's one that's relatively new. It was introduced by a company called Walter's Gardens, and they distribute it to many local growers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that you've started seeing over the last 3 or 4 years. And there are other variegated forms of this out there, but this one is more compact. And so people like it because it doesn't spread everywhere.
Yeah, that's my perfect plant for sure. One that has beautiful flowers. What was the blooming season for this plant?
Late summer into fall, about the same time as black-eyed Susans and the purple coneflower, but the bloom period is going to be longer than purple coneflower.
Right. And I, yeah, And I love it when the plant, when the flowers are gone, you still have that very interesting plant to look at.
You do. And the looking up for a common name for this, people are calling it fault sunflower, sunflower heliopsis. Some sites are calling it oxeye daisy, which is a complete bad name for it.
Oh, no.
Because oxeye daisy is a noxious weed, and this isn't even the same species. Mm-hmm. And so it's usually sold as heliopsis or sometimes fault sunflower at the garden centers just because it hasn't entered the market long enough to get a really good established common name for it. But it's around enough that you'll see it at like Conservation Garden Park, up at Weber Basin Water, and then just in yards in general that it's got a, even though it's only been on the market, the species itself has a pretty good track record along the Wasatch Front.
So is it a lot like the Coreopsis then that has the yellow flowers and reseeds everywhere?
The bloom time is different. And so the Coreopsis will bloom through the summer and then kind of slow down in the fall. It doesn't stop, but its showtime is through the summer.
It doesn't this stay one, put, though.
No,
that's what
it
makes
doesn't.
Me mad.
This one's a little bit later. So if you let it go to seed, mm-hmm. it may, being a species where this is not a hybrid, the seeds are going to be viable. And so if you don't want it to go to seed, what you're going to have to do is deadhead it so that it doesn't have the opportunity to produce those. Now, it doesn't have a track record of going crazy in people's yards and blooming everywhere, but it is one that it may spread a bit.
Yeah, the one that my, this is a totally different plant, but that May, that's called May. Do you know which plant?
May night salvia?
I'll have to look it up, but it spreads everywhere. It's one of those I'm like, oh, stay away from that plant.
There are a few out there that do it. The Maltese Cross, what's the other name? Jupiter's Beard,
mm-hmm.
is infamous for just going
taking
everywhere.
It. So unless you're out there every week, it can be a problem.
Yeah, it's one that I think without irrigation doesn't really cause a lot of problems, but I've wondered with how profuse it is, if it has the potential to become noxious.
Hmm.
You know, the helianthus, I believe we have native species here in Utah. This particular one is native to the Midwest into the upper South. And so it's a prairies, Great Plains plant, and it does have moderate drought tolerance to where it, once established, will need watered, especially with a mulch, which we're going to talk about later,
mm-hmm.
With a mulch over it. Once it's established, it should only need to be watered deeply weekly to every 10 days.
Okay, that's really good to know because I've put this by my succulent garden. So it's going to go do well there.
Yes, and it's one that I don't know if it's as drought hardy as sedums and the blanket flowers, but it is relatively drought hardy.
Yeah. How long does it usually take for this to take hold so you don't have to water it as much?
2 to 3 years. There's a saying with perennials that the first year they sleep, the second year they creep, and the third year they leap. And so that first year you're having to supplement, irrigate it. But toward the end of the second year, into the third year is when they really get established. Now, these aren't incredibly long-lived, but you should be able to get anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6 years out of them. And if they reseed a little bit, you can just move those around.
Thanks for the warning, though.
Yes.
I'm always disappointed when I plant something.
Yeah,
I want it to last forever.
When you hear perennial, you think, oh, this is going to last forever. But it doesn't.
It doesn't. Okay.
But most perennials don't. You know, there are a few, you know, the Golds from Black-Eyed Susans, the perennial hibiscus, the
iris,
the bleeding hearts that will live for years. But a good 60 or 70% of perennials, reasonable lifespan is anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6, maybe 7 years before they start to decline.
Okay, before we start taking calls and questions, one final question. How about sun for this plant?
Full blast sun. It's going to need at least 6 or 7 hours of sun a day, but this is one that normally grows in full sun. And so south exposure, west exposure, maybe something like a southeast exposure, but it will probably not do well on the north side of a home.
Okay. So if you've never seen this plant, take a look at it. We have it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, an article about the false sunflower. We're coming back with your calls and your questions. Paul, you're going to be up first. And again, the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. A great time to get them in. You can also text us at 57500. Paul is on the line in Sandy, and good morning, Paul. What is your question this morning?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. One is about lawn grubs. I called back in June and asked you about applying a grub killer to my lawn, and you said, told me to apply it about that time, and I did, and the change in my lawn is tremendous. It's coming back green, but I'm wondering, should I apply another application next month in October?
No, the grubs are going to be dormant, and so you would be wasting your money.
Okay.
We have seen over the last 6 weeks a huge upsurge in subterranean sod webworm. And I think it's been brought on by the drought, but I've been getting numerous calls from people saying, hey, I put grub killer down in May and my lawn just is being decimated and, you know, it pulls up. And that subterranean sod webworm is opportunistic because it really gets its start when the grub killer you put down starts to peter out in August and September. But if you're seeing recovery, I would just wait until mid to late May of next year before you do another application.
Okay. And my other question is, I have a 11 ivory halo dogwoods planted in kind of a circular area of my lawn. They're all watered from the same water line, and 10 of them are doing wonderful, and one of them looks like it's just about dead. Is there a disease that could be causing, that could cause that?
I have been dealing with a gentleman that lives in the Mapleton area that has the ivory halos and a couple of other varieties of dogwood that have been developing really small leaves and a thin canopy. And then some of the sections are dying out, and there's two or three diseases that get into dogwood.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.